I sure appreciate the opportunity. It's always nice to be able to preach at your own church. Been getting to go to some different places and spread the gospel, but like I said, it's just always nice to come back and be able to preach to like-minded people, people that you know. And in the same sense, as grateful as I am, I'm just as nervous as well. So I ask you tonight not to listen to me, not to listen to the word I speak, because I will trip over them. I'll probably mess something up, probably stutter when I read or whatever, but you know that you've been brought here this evening for a purpose. God's brought you here to get something. And I'm asking you tonight just to take these next few minutes. I don't know. I'll have to be pretty quick because it's getting close to my mom's bedtime. She's going to whoop me now. But no matter how long it takes or how quick it is, I ask you to get something from this message, okay? Don't worry about this. I know I'm not behind the pulpit. Brother Kevin wouldn't help me stand up to stay back here. Everybody can laugh. That's supposed to be funny. And if I slap my chest, it's because it looks like there's a bug on it. So, if you will, turn with me to the book of James, chapter number 4. I want to preach a message tonight entitled, What Are You Filled With? What are you filled with? We go throughout life and we go throughout our whole day, every day, and we pick and choose what we are filled with. And tonight I want everybody just to take the time to do a self-evaluation and determine what you are most filled with. If you will, stand for the reading of God's Word. James chapter number 4, verse number 7. Submit therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Let us pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you and praise you, Father God, for this another opportunity to be in your house, Father God, to preach your word, Father. Lord, I thank you for each and every soul that's represented here tonight, Father God. I ask you that you just bless them. Pour out on them, Father God. Lord, I pray that you put the Holy Spirit in this place. I pray, Father God, you just make it so thick that it just stirs around. And Lord, it just messes people up tonight, Father. Lord, I pray that you will come and sit down with us, Father. You will take complete control of this service. You will use me as your mouthpiece, Father God, that only the words that you'll have be spoke tonight. Lord, I pray, Father, right now in the name of Jesus, again, you take control. And when the lights are turned off, it's recorded in heaven that your will was done in this place. I pray, Father God, that you be glorified and Satan be horrified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What are you filled with this morning? It's a pretty simple question. I've asked myself this since the last time Brother Garrett sang that song. I had heard it before, and I have preached a message that was similar before. But I've been asking myself this, and when BJ asked me to preach last week, I knew that there was no other option. But let me tell you, the reason why I know that there's something here for you tonight is because I have fought hell all week. All week long, I have fought hell. He's been in my mind. He's just been on me, okay? It was so hard for me to put these. I really thought I was just going to have to come without notes. It was so hard for me to be able just to pin down the message that I knew for sure that God wanted me to preach. But the question is, stopped and, well, most probably haven't, but just stopped and thought, what you deal with and what you put into your body. If you're a health guru, you probably think about it on a nutritional standpoint, but I'm asking you spiritually tonight. Have you ever just thought about what you put into your body, what you ingest, what you take in? If you went out into your car and you turn the key on and that little light come up that I see a lot, I don't know about y'all, I always run it to the very end. But you see the light come on and it looks like a gas pump. You don't pull around to the spigot at your house and put the water hose in there and fill it up with water. I hope you've never done that. There wasn't a whole lot of people shaking their head. Maybe you did, Kevin. I'm trying to get you some business. But you don't go over and you fill it. You don't go fill it up with water. You don't go and just put anything that you can find into your gas can or into your gas tank, rather. You go to a gas station. You put gas in it. You put diesel in it. You don't just put whatever it is that you want to put into it. I want to show you this morning three ways that it will help you put the correct things into your body. The correct things, three things that you can do that's in the scripture here, three things that you can do that will help you ingest the correct things spiritually throughout your week. Back to James chapter number 4. Submit therefore to God. Resist the devil. Submit. I got to thinking about the meaning of submit. Most people don't like it. I know I don't. If we was in a wrestling match and y'all had me in a chokehold, you're probably going to have to choke me out because I refuse to lose. I don't want to be a loser. I don't like to submit. I'm not tapping. Okay? You're going to have to revive me. We're not trying that tonight. That'll be an example for another time. But submit means accept or yield to a superior or an authority. I cannot think of a better authority figure than God. I cannot think of a better example to live by, which is who we're supposed to live by as Christians. I imagine if I took a poll this morning, I'll probably say that 100 times. If I took a poll tonight, that most people would stand up and say, yes, I'm a Christian. I profess Christianity. You would say that you're saved. So you're supposed to be submitting to God, and you're supposed to be, he's supposed to be your role model and what you're going after. Matthew chapter number 16, verse number 24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Deny yourselves. Take up your cross and follow him. If you're not making a conscious effort and decision each and every day when you wake up to deny yourself of your own personal wants, you're failing. If you're not denying yourself as soon as you wake up in the morning, If I'm not denying myself, I'm failing. Because I know that if I allow Bradley to have his way, God will never have his will in my life. I know that if I take control of me, that I cannot control. When I hold on to the reins, I used to have a horse that booger hunted, worse than anything I've ever seen. That sucker couldn't walk in a straight line. I'm telling you, it hit both walls before we got to the back door. Okay? And I had to constantly rein him in. I'm telling y'all, if we was on the road, we'd get hit by a car. He'd be walking from one side to the other. Great horse, he just couldn't walk straight. That's the way I am in my day-to-day walk, my day-to-day role. I can't. Y'all have got to laugh. Come on. That was a good one. My day-to-day walk, in our day-to-day lives, if you don't hold the reins, if you don't allow God to hold the reins, you're going to be like that horse is and be walking all over the road. You're going to be taking the wrong turns. Submitting to God means doing His will and allowing Him to do His will in your life. And just a couple of things that I realize that a lot of people don't do, a lot of people don't, that are, to some people are going to seem minute, but to some people they're big. They're big things. When God asks you to pray for somebody, it don't mean text them back and say, pray him, brother, and never say a word. When somebody calls you and says, you know, you can hear it in their voice, they've got a problem, don't rush off the phone and say, yeah, man, I'll pray for you, and hang up the phone and Next time you see them 3 months from now, hey man, did you get that figured out? When God puts somebody in your way, or he puts it on you or on somebody to call, to have you pray for them, that should be an honor for you. It should be an honor. It should be an honor to even to stand in this church when we circle up, or when Brother BJ calls on you to pray, it should be an honor. Helping others and preferring others over yourself. Now, I know there's no selfish people in this place, I'm sure, but preferring others over yourself, preferring others over yourself should come, it does not come naturally. As humans, we automatically want to look out for ourselves. Most everybody does. It's hard for a lot of people to actually stop and realize that God wants them to help others before you help yourselves. And therefore, you will be blessed in return. Now, I'm talking to the wrong crew, I know, and I'm being serious when I say that. Not being funny. I'm talking to the wrong crew, mostly, but go to church. It should not be a chore to go to church. Submitting your time, 3 hours a week, to go to church should not be that hard. Things come up, I understand. They do. I mean, it happens. It happens to everybody. You cannot make every service. Anybody can agree with that. But it shouldn't be a chore to make it to church 3 services a week. Shouldn't. I mean, we went to a revival service last week. We went to a revival last week. Now, with the way that the world is, yeah, making 5 services in a week is probably difficult. But I seen most of you there. So it tells me that you have your priorities in line. And no, I understand. I'm not trying to cut down on the people that didn't go, okay? Because I didn't take a head count. I was the last one there and the first one out. Okay, most of you probably didn't see me. I wasn't there every night either. I couldn't make it. But what I'm telling you is a measly 3 hours, 3.5 hours a week. Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. That God is asking you, what would you be doing if you wasn't here tonight? This is the core of the church. BJ says this all the time. This is the core of the church. So just think in your mind, what would you be doing if you wasn't right here? Watching the Braves play? Helping with the church. I mean, it's always a burden. Right? It always gets in the way when somebody or the church needs some help. Helping with the church should almost be a joy. Anytime I get the opportunity to go and preach, when I go, it is almost, and I'm not lying, I'm being as truthful as I can be, it is almost a burden until it's over. Hagen, would you, I mean, it's when you're trying to prepare a message, you're trying to really do what God wants you to do, and you've got the devil on one shoulder and God on the other shoulder, and you're trying to figure out which one you're supposed to listen to and who's saying the right thing and what to do. And then you go to the service, and this 30, 45 minutes, whatever we're going to be here, go by so quick. Those songs happen so fast. And I got up here, and I was so nervous. But when we leave, I'll be walking on cloud 9. If you're not helping in church in some shape, form, or fashion, I'm not telling you you have to, but I am telling you that I would try it. Resist. Resist. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Just today, in this 24-hour period, in this 12-hour period since you've been awake, have you resisted the devil? Have you truly pushed the devil away? The devil will take place in anything and everything you will allow him to do. Anything that you open the door and allow him to come in on, he's going to come in on. It don't matter if it's church. I rebuke him in Jesus' name. I'm talking about him right now, but it's not in a good way. If we allowed him to come into this service, he'd take complete control. Resisting starts with denying yourself. That's why denying yourself was number one. Resisting starts with denying. In the mornings when you wake up, resist the urge to do anything other than thank God for another day. Start by saying, thank God. I've gotten a habit, even though I'm sleepy-eyed, I still try. The first thing I do, I usually wake up to 5 or 6 text messages, a couple phone calls, emails, and I was always bad about reading those first. And that's how I started my day. And over the last month or so, I have made it a conscious effort to make sure the first thing I open on my phone, because it's the first thing I can grab when I'm turning my alarm clock off, as I open my Bible. And it has completely changed my entire days. Every one of them. And the ones where I missed it and I opened something up beforehand, I realize the difference. I'm not telling you that's what you have to do. I'm just saying that's what God has put on my heart to try, and it's really worked out for me. The more of the world you hold on to, this is a big one. The more of the world you hold on to, the easier it'll be for the devil to take place in your life. The easier it'll be for the devil to have the reins. The easier it'll be for him to move in on things. The harder it'll be for you to resist him. And I'm going to show you here in a minute. That's what the example's for. I'm going to show you here in a minute what I mean by that. We all get caught up in things of the world. It's our human nature. It's just the way we're wired. We all want to fit in. We all want to fit in. Outside of these four walls, at work or whatever it might be, we all want to fit in. I was told, and I'm not going to say his name, and I think he'll know who I'm talking about when I say this, but I'm not going to say his name. I was told a story about somebody that's in this church right now. He's here. I was told by a guy I know. They was at work, and I've heard BJ mention this a time or two, but they was at work, and something was said about the lottery, I believe it was. I'm probably going to tell the story wrong, so we'll just make it up as we go. But I know the gist of it, okay? It's my story. I don't care if y'all know it or not. But anyways, so they're at work. They're in the break room or wherever they're at, and they're talking about the lottery, I believe it was, and what would you do with the lottery? And the man that's telling me this is talking about how they would go, they was going to buy worldly things. I'll just put it that way, okay? It was not good things. It was bad things. And the person that's in this room right now, there's people racking their brain, by the way. I can see your gears turning. It's not you. But the person that is sitting here this right now said, they asked him, what would you buy? He said, I think he said, I'd probably help the church. I wouldn't buy that. I wouldn't do that. Or maybe even said that he wouldn't play the lottery because that's not what God wants. I think that's what he might have said. But the gist of what I'm trying to say is, and again, I don't really know the details. I wasn't there. But what I'm trying to tell you is that the joke was that they was going to go buy drugs or something and worldly things. And the man got up and walked away because he was resisting the devil instead of sinking into this dirty joke and sinking into these things of the world that they were talking about and sinking into and going in with what the devil wanted. He resisted it and he walked away. The last thing I want to show you is draw near to God. Verse number 8, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. If you are in this place tonight, I would think that you come here to draw near to God. You didn't just come here to hear me speak or hear BJ speak or hear some songs. You came here to draw near to God. If you're not resisting the devil, if you're not denying yourself and resisting, you're not drawing closer to God. So ask yourself right now, again, we're looking at the last 12 hours. What have you done to draw closer to God? besides coming to church? I'm just asking you one thing that you have done to truly draw closer to God. Read your Bible. Have you been in prayer? Have you had, this is my favorite thing. I love it when people from church call me and I get to have church conversations, biblical conversations. One of the first messages that I heard BJ preach, we was in the old building, one of the very first messages I heard him preach, he talked about how great it was to have Bible talk. That was a few years ago. I don't know, it was probably 5 or 6. How long have we been in the new building? We've been here 3. So it's been about 5 years ago. Something like that. He talked about it's just nice to have Bible talk. If you read a scripture, and what I mean by Bible talk, and I'm encouraging you to do this with somebody that you're sitting beside, if you read a scripture and you don't understand it, or you read a scripture and God gives you something from it, it don't make you a preacher to call and discuss scripture. It doesn't mean you have to preach a message just to call your friend or to call your neighbor right here and say, man, you ain't going to believe what God told me. You don't have to get up here and share it. It's your testimony. And it's your inner circle of the people that you're going to touch the most. Chances are, most of the things that I'll say tonight, everybody will forget before you get in the car. But the intimate conversation that you'll have with your friend or your buddy or your mom or your dad or your sister or your wife or your husband, the intimate conversation that you have with them about what you're reading, what you're hearing, or what God has given you, you will remember the most. I can almost guarantee you. At some point or another, draw near to God. At some point or another, if you are saved in this place tonight, I don't know why I keep doing that. If you are saved in this place tonight, you remember a time when you was the closest to God. You remember a time when you first got saved. When I've never told my testimony here, and maybe one day God will allow me to do it, but I got saved and I was knelt down in a mud puddle. It was a horrific time, I'm telling you. I was cut up. I just had a bad four-wheeler wreck. I was literally knelt down in a mud hole and just couldn't say nothing, but God helped me with snot running and my eyes crying. And I'm not a crier very much. Try not to be, especially not then. Maybe more so now since God put his touch on me. But back then, no, you wasn't going to catch me crying a whole lot if something was wrong. But I remember when I got up from there, the two people that had their hand on my shoulders said, we talked for a second, they said, what do you want to do? And I gathered myself up a little bit and I said, can we make it to church? Because it was on a Sunday. And for the next few months, this was prior to my wreck, this was in July, I had my wreck in December. But for the next few months, I remember just how close I felt to God. I remember being able to call on the name of God, the name of the Lord, calling on Jesus and feeling him just instantly. I remember being in the ambulance that night. My mom was sitting up front, and all I could think about was praise you in this storm. And I don't know, and I'm being honest when I tell you here this tonight, I don't know that I could be in the same mindset if I had my wreck today. And I've been saved since 2011. And I would venture to say that most of everybody here would say the same thing, that if you're not a new convert, that you're probably in the same boat that I am, but why? And that's what I want to show you in just a minute, because we're not denying ourselves and submitting to God every day. We get caught up in the hustle and the bustle of this world, and we don't deny ourselves and pick up our cross daily. When you're near to God, this world and the devil can't touch you. And there's no better feeling. There's no better feeling than knowing that the devil might be knocking at your door and you could open it and he's gone. Anybody, if you've ever had a situation come up a situation where it was bad and you didn't know which way to turn and you just started praying. And God prevailed in the situation before you was even able to put your hands on it. That's what I'm talking about, drawing near to God. Where God is, the devil has to flee. Now I want to show you this, and we're going to close. I want to show you this example right here. And I hope y'all will bear with me for just a second. So, the title of the message was, I probably should open these before I come up here. That's not the title. But the title of the message was, what are you filled with? What are you putting into your body? What are you taking in your mind on a day-to-day basis? Well, right now, something that most everybody's taking in is football, right? So I want you to think about what you're filled with. What if since Sunday, maybe I won't make a mess here. Since Sunday, what have you been taking in? Can everybody see this? I'll hold it up in just a second. So I know, or I feel like, there's somebody in here that has probably watched some type of sports or talked about some type of sports. And I feel pretty confident that work has got involved. Am I right? Maybe not. Maybe I'm the only one. But maybe we got to put a bunch in there for work for me. So maybe I'm the only one, but maybe your spouse has gotten away or your kids have gotten away. Or what have your conversations been? What have you been listening to on the radio? Because I know for me, I don't know about y'all, but I know that if I listen to Luke Combs, I want to drink. If I start listening to an ice cold beer never broke my heart, I start getting a twitch in my throat wanting a drink. I can't listen to it. I'm just being honest. What have you watched on TV besides sports? Or what have you watched on your phone? If we're being honest, what does your search history on your phone look like? Anything that you can think of that you are filling yourself with besides the Word of God, these ping pong balls represent it. Doesn't matter what it is. This is a lot of ping pong balls. I'm glad I bought two boxes. So, this is full, right? This is just as many ping pong balls you can get in it without them coming out. But when you start putting in the living water of God and allowing Him to take control, and you start submitting yourself to God, things start to change. And then when you deny yourself, things start to change. you submit and then you draw near to God. And he starts pushing all these things out that aren't supposed to be there. And he starts taking control. And when he takes control, you can start drinking from your saucer. And let me tell you the most important part of this. Not just drinking from your saucer because your cup's overflowing, but when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, things can't stay in. Tonight, I'm asking you, what have you been filling yourself with this week? What has God been dealing with you on? If there's something here tonight that you need to get rid of, if there's something in your life that you need to get rid of, if there's one of these ping pong balls that's holding you back, tonight's the time. You will not get any closer or any better of a chance to allow God to come into your heart, to come into your life, and make a change so that you can submit to Him and draw near to Him than you will tonight. BJ made such a profound statement the other day, and I absolutely love it, and it was, I think he kind of made light of it like it was funny, but it's really not, because it's something that a lot of people are dealing with. He said, the bill collectors can't get you in here. The bill collectors can't get you. The boss can't get you. Work doesn't matter in here. You matter. But most of all, Jesus matters. And you getting all of God that you can get matters. I am encouraging you for the rest of this week to think about, pray about, submit to God. Let us pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you. I praise you again for this opportunity to be in your house. I ask you, Father God, that you will start pricking hearts and you will start working on people, and just conviction will fall in this place, Father God. I'm praying right now in the name of Jesus, Father, that you will touch each and every soul here. You will touch each and every person here, and you will bless them beyond measure, Father. I pray, Father, that you will just start right now from the crown of their head to the soles of their feet, Father God. Start filling them with your living water, Father. Lord, I pray that you just push everything out of our lives that we don't need. I pray, Father God, that you will have your will in our lives. I pray, Father, that we can submit and be totally dependent on you, Father. Lord, I pray that we draw near to you, Father, and resist the devil, and just draw close to you, Father, and let you fill our hearts so that our cup overflows, Father, and we can just take it out in the highways and the hedges, Father God, and I just pray that we preach it to this lost and dying world. Lord, I love you and I do thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.